And now on Homeland Security Inside and Out, we're going to turn the spotlight on suicide bombers. We're talking with Amos Brandes, who's the director and managing partner of Chameleon Associates, a California-based security consulting firm that does training, security engineering, and consulting. Amos, thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thank you.
You've been with us several times before. In particular, today we'd like to focus on this recent American suicide bomber, the very first one we've been able to identify, who was radicalized here in the U.S., went overseas, and conducted a suicide mission overseas. I guess this guy was actually from Minnesota, is that right?
Yes, from Minneapolis.
And had been in the United States for more than a decade. He and his family were all settled in. Was there anything in particular to get your attention about why this individual would be one that followed this particular path?
No, I don't know exactly what drove him. You know, every suicide bomber has a different motivation for doing what he's doing. I don't really know the specifics of what led him to be the suicide bomber. I don't know if anybody would know.
But this is part of a pattern that we've seen. I know the FBI has been very concerned about the radicalization specifically of Somalis in this country.
Well, radicalization in Western societies, Western countries, is an issue because I think what the FBI is really worried about is the fact that when you have that kind of pool for recruitment, then the tactics of suicide bombings that we see in the Middle East can be, I wouldn't say easily transferred here, but could appear here in the United States and in Europe and other Western societies. So that's the major concern if we see these types of recruitment.
Let's pursue that a minute, but first let me clarify. This is not an issue that the FBI was worried about Somalis. There was specifically a problem that emerged in the Somali community where a large number of young men went missing and apparently had been, and turned to the FBI, the families did, and said, can you help us figure out what happened? Now, you've expressed to me an explanation. There's a different type, a different mindset, a different recruiting pattern for the kind of suicide bomber we saw here in the U.S. and for what this young man took part in. Would you explain that?
Well, the suicide terrorism that we saw in 9/11, or the suicide bombers in England, which happen in Western societies, are different in terms of the recruitment, because there wasn't any recruitment that was done from a localized society. It was basically suicide bombers that created the entire attack from A to Z. And so there wasn't any issue of recruitment. It was sort of an organized group that did it, you know, from A to Z, from the, as we call it, from the marking of the target to the execution and of the actual act. In other places, what we see is, and specifically in the Middle East, the suicide bomber is recruited basically as the mechanism for detonating the bomb. They are not involved in the planning. That makes it much easier for the operation. That's why we see more suicide bombings in the Middle East, where there is a pool for recruitment. Now, if that pool of recruitment is transferred here into the United States or into Western Europe, and we saw cases like that in Germany, in the United Kingdom, in Belgium, where just like this case in Minneapolis, where young radicalized individuals were recruited to become suicide bombers, mainly in the Middle East or in Asia, and now in Africa too. So if you're taking this pool of recruitment and you're putting it in the United States, in England, in any kind of Western society, you have the capability tactically to perform more and more simple suicide bombing, where the bomber is simply a part of the bomb. He's no longer the planner of the attack.
So the business, for example, on 9/11, this was a very long-term issue because the people were involved in the conceptualization of the project from the beginning. This is what you're describing is a more of a sort of production line process, where the recruiting of the individual, in some respects, you might even say is sort of cold and distant. You're recruiting the individual in the same way you're looking for a trigger and you're looking for somebody to build the vest and you're looking to find the explosives. It's just part of the mechanical process.
Right. And if you look at the method of operation in the Middle East, the suicide bomber is introduced to the bomb sometimes a few hours or minutes or maybe a day before the actual attack. He doesn't know what and how he's going to do it. He's given the details of the attack really, really at the end of the process.
That also means you can the radicalization process in some cases, I guess, would be simpler because you can hype a person up on emotion, commit them to this event. They go do this event. They haven't had to be part of a long-term process where you had them under control, you isolated them with their family for weeks or months at a time.
Exactly. And it's possible in areas and in countries and in a political and social environment that promotes suicide bombing as an acceptable and sometimes as a martyr and someone who is going to be rewarded for what he's doing, whether it's in the afterlife or in but by respect from his family and peers and social framework.
Interesting point about respect, Amatz. I know Chameleon does a great deal of training in this area, especially you do the business of professional profiling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about talk about that a little bit and how you explain to recognize radicalization as it's progressing so that we can see this early on?
Well, with regards to profiling of an individual that is radicalized, there are a lot of issues that relate to, for instance, in the schools, how to look for someone who might be radicalized. This is more of a psychological profiling to see the type of behavior of, for instance, someone who is shying away from certain groups that he usually was a part of, someone who makes statements that are radical and that may indicate an intent to do something like that. All of this could be behavioral signs for a potential recruitment or radicalization.
Hey, Mats, I've undergone some training with Chameleon. I was struck by the fact that when you talk about profiling, you're very specific not to recommend racial or religious profiling. And you use a great example that one of the first suicide bombings in Israel was by Japanese. Would you explain that?
Right. Actually, to look at racial profiling is to expose yourself or to do racial profiling is to expose yourself to a vulnerability because you're focusing on a specific group and not on the method of attack. This case of the Japanese terrorists in the 1970s in Israel was exactly that case when a group of three terrorists came in and basically conducted a suicide attack. They weren't planning on staying alive after this attack. This was kind of like a Mumbai attack in the Israeli airport. But what they utilized was exactly the fact that Israel was conducting racial profiling or ethnic-based profiling, looking at specifically or mainly on Arabs as the potential attackers. So they came as Japanese, and the people who were behind the attack was the PFLP that basically contracted the Japanese Red Army to conduct the attack in Israel because they basically exploited that vulnerability of racial profiling.
And so they had contracted out and, in fact, were going to swap off to defeat Japanese profiling on the other end.
Exactly, exactly. So the terrorists will exploit this, the racial profiling as a vulnerability. This is beyond getting into the social and political and implications of racial profiling, just from a purely tactical and strategic way of how you look at security, racial profiling is very dangerous.
Bad idea, but behavior profiling, an entirely different issue.
Very different, and it's derived from the method of operation of how the terrorist goes about attacking a certain protected environment.
Amatz Brandis is the director and managing partner of Chameleon Associates, a California-based security firm that, among other issues, teaches this approach to behavior profiling. Amatz, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Dave.